Okay, so to summarize where we stood on this issue, so 2 days ago we dealt with the question of whether the whether Sfirat Omer nowadays is biblical or rabbinic, and we noted that if it is rabbinic, presumably that's because on a biblical level, the mitzvah of Sfirat Omer depends on the actual bringing of the Karban HaOmer. That seems to be the majority position, as reflected in Tosfot and the Ran. And the Ran's assessment of the situation is that, in fact, that is the majority. On the other hand, you have the possibility that it's biblical, and that can either be because you think that the counting of the Omer is completely independent of the Karban HaOmer, perhaps because it's counting up to Matan Torah or something like that, or you think that it is dependent on the theoretical possibility of bringing the Karban HaOmer, which even though we don't have the Beit HaMikdash, we don't bring the Omer, in theory we could. Or you think that it depends on the chiyuv of the prohibition of chadash, of the new grain, or the like. That was step one. Then step two was that the Gemara has the machloket Abaye and Ameimar, which again, if you just want to look at it, we'll read that one line again. That the Gemara had said that Gufa Amar Abaye mitzvah leminne yomei mitzvah leminne shavuei. Rabbanan de Rav Ashi manu yome umanu shvue, Ameimar manu yome velo mani shvue, Amar zechel mikdashu. You have the position of Abaye that you count the days and the weeks. And Rav Ashi agreed with Abaye, but Ameimar counted the days and not the weeks, saying that it's only a commemoration of the Beit HaMikdash. And what we noted is that one way of understanding this Gemara is that it's a machloket between Abaye and Ameimar, whether it's biblical nowadays or rabbinic. But, as we said, we count days and weeks, and yet the majority view is that it is rabbinic. And therefore, what we suggested is that perhaps their machloket isn't about whether this is biblical or rabbinic, but it's about what does it mean to commemorate the Beit HaMikdash. And we noted that there are different models. One way of commemorating the Mikdash is by mourning. Another way, which is very closely related to mourning, is by living a diminished life, both physical and ritual. So, for example, just like we don't paint our entire house, we leave the square amma of our house unpainted. So maybe the same thing is true about our mitzvot. So what Ameimar is saying is that the nature of this commemoration of the Mikdash is one of mourning, and the way we commemorate the Mikdash is by reminding ourselves that life is incomplete without the Mikdash, so we only count the days but not the weeks. But we noted that there are other ways to commemorate the Mikdash, and that is not to live a diminished life, but to find ways of having the Mikdash continue in our life. So for example, the Gemara says that shuls are Mikdash Ma'at, are Mikdashei Me'at, are mini Betei Mikdash. That's not a claim that we're missing something. I mean, we are obviously, but the way that we commemorate the Mikdash is by saying an element of the Beit HaMikdash continues to exist in our personal holy spaces. And we noted that this seems to be the model that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai takes in general, where the way he does it is, for example, he says that in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, so on Shabbat, you didn't blow the shofar outside the Beit HaMikdash, but you did in the Beit HaMikdash. However, when the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, you blow the shofar wherever there is a Beit Din. So what he's saying is that in a certain sense, wherever there is a Beit Din, there is an element of the Beit HaMikdash, and that's the way we commemorate it, by saying that it continues to exist. Similarly, he says that when it comes to shaking the lulav, in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, you shook one day in the Beit outside the Beit HaMikdash and every day of Sukkot in the Beit HaMikdash. Nowadays, we shake the lulav everywhere for 7 days. Again, commemorating the Mikdash by convincing ourselves that we can live without the Mikdash, we can bring the Mikdash into our everyday lives. And we saw some other examples of this. And we argued that maybe that's the machlokes in the Gemara, not whether or not Sfirat Omer is biblical or rabbinic, or whether or not it's a Zechel Mikdash, but what type of commemoration is it? Is it a commemoration, the way Ameimar says, where you remind yourself of the loss of the Beit HaMikdash by living a diminished life, so you count days and not weeks, or do you commemorate the Mikdash by doing what we used to do in the Mikdash and continuing life as it existed in the Mikdash. And we know that the Biyochim and Zakeh also has some related to the Omer that are not recreating but anticipating, claiming that we don't eat the new grain until the 17th because we don't want it to be that in a world where there is a Karban, that people will forget that they're supposed to live for the wait till the Karban because the year before they ate on the 16th. So that's what we did yesterday. What I wanted to do today is flesh this out a little bit. So first, let's look at a little bit of a summary of this, okay? So here I gave you a little summary from a jachter of the Rabbi Soloveitchik's position. He writes, Rabbi Soloveitchik explains that there are two types of remembering the Beit HaMikdash. One is to remember the glory of the Beit HaMikdash, and the other is to remember the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Right? This is a slightly different formulation that we had. Are eating the Korech and taking the Lulav, the last 6 days of Sukkot, recall the grandeur of the Mikdash. What I called reliving the Mikdash, or continuing to live as if the Mikdash exists. The obligation to leave a small portion of our house unpainted and limiting our enjoyment of music are examples and remembrances of the destruction of the Mikdash. We classify Sfirat HaOmer in the latter category. It is for this reason that after we have counted the Omer, we request Hashem to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. In addition, says Rav Soloveitchik, that's why it's appropriate for us to mourn during the period of Sefirat HaOmer for the loss of Rabbi Akiva's students, since in our times there's an element of sadness involved in the Sefirat HaOmer. So the Rav argued that Sefirat HaOmer is of the latter category, it's a mourning practice. But what I would argue is that that's exactly the machloket. That the machloket Amemar Abaye, whether you continue to act, to count completely or not, is this machlokes. If you think it's one remembering the grandeur, so then you continue to relive it. You count days and weeks. If it's meant to commemorate a diminished life, so then you do a partial one. And I'm really following some academics here, like Shmuel Safrai, who argued that this is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's goal in general, to create a religious experience that could exist not in the Mikdash. Now, it is possible that you could say that even if our Sefirat HaOmer is Zichel Mikdash and convincing ourselves that life continues, because there's a missing carbon, there's clearly a missing element, so we also have an element of mourning, and really we do both. So we count days and weeks to relive Sefirat HaOmer in the Mikdash, but we say, Harach Amanu Yachazir Lanu Avodat Beit HaMikdash B'Meir Av Yameinu, etc. We say, God bring back to make the Mikdash to remind us that things are still incomplete. Okay. So, in light of these two models, two essential models, I want to understand a few other issues. So, let's start with the issue of, with the issue of whether you count, whether you say Shechiyanu when you count Sefirat HaOmer, which we don't, but why not? So, the Baal HaMor writes as follows. This is the end of Psachim. He doesn't have a perish on Menachot, so he writes his comments of Sefirat HaOmer at the end of Psachim. And he says, "Ubisfirat HaOmer, Yeshus Shoalin, Matam, Einanu Omrin Bozman." People ask, why don't we say Shechayanu for Sefirat HaOmer? Va'od, Matam, Einanu Sofrin, Below Bracha, Biyom Tovshen, Yishol Pesach. Why don't you count without a bracha, which is something maybe we'll come back to, on the second day of Pesach because of Sfeik Adiyoma, because you're not sure if that's really the right day to start, because the main line in Sukkah, Bishmini Sfeik Shvi, Meitav Yasin, Ruchai Lom Mevarchinan. Just like on Shmini Atzeret, we sit in the Sukkah, but we don't make the bracha. Because the bracha is against the Kiddush Adayom, right? Saying the bracha of sitting in the Sukkah is against Shmini Atzeret, Achanami, Berchad Omer, Omed et keneged kiddush hayom. It doesn't make sense to count Sefirat HaOmer at the second Seder, because the definition of the Omer is mimacharat Shabbat, the day after Pesach. So how could it be that we're going to count with a bracha on the first night of Pesach? Nimnei nimnoi velo livrich merchu bruche. That's question two. Question three is va'od matam enos over shnei svirot misavek kemoshan osin shnei yom tovim misavek. Why don't we count every day, today is day one or day two. Today is day two or day three. Today is day three or day four. Right? Why don't we do that like we do by every other Yom Tov? So these are three questions. We'll come back to some of them, but I want to focus on just one of them for now. The Baal HaMor has an answer. He says, "Uklol shel davar ein lanu hachbir svir omer she'eino ela zecher ba'alma." He says his answer for all of them is because Svirat Omer is just a zecher, is just a commemoration. It's not such a strong derabbanan. That's what we say in Menachot. Because Amemar, as we saw, counted days and weeks. And even though we count days and weeks, that's just a minug. So here, the Baal HaMor clearly takes the Rav's position, right? Which is that whether you think you count days and weeks or you just count days, that's not a machloket about the type of Zecher LeMikdash. Everybody agrees that this is a mere Zecher LeMikdash, a mere commemoration. The fact that we count days and weeks, okay, you know, that's just a minhag. But really, we all agree that this is mourning, that this is a diminished practice. And therefore, he says, "Aval hatinu zman ein lanu." And therefore, because this is a mere zecher, it's a second level mitzvah. So therefore, we don't say shechayanu. Furthermore, v'od shelo matzinu birchat zman elav davar sheyesh bo shum hana'ah. You only say shechayanu when you get pleasure out of something. Like lulav, which is a mitzvah that is wrapped up with joy, or the blowing of the shofar, which is how we daven that God should remember us, which has a joyous element. Umikra Megillah, where we read the Megillah, the Chas Rachman Alan, where we talk about how God had mercy on us, uparkinan, and He saved us, upidyon ben, or when we redeem a firstborn son. Because he's making a bracha that his son has survived. But there is no joy when it comes to Svirat HaOmer, because all it does is remind us that the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. So the Baal HaMor, like the Rav, thinks there is no machloket. Both shitot hold that Svirat HaOmer is a mourning practice. It's something we do to reflect that our lives are diminished because there's no Beit HaMikdash. And therefore he says, whether you count just days or you count days and weeks, you don't say Shechayanu because it's a depressing practice. It's a mourning practice, as the Rav said. Now, the Daf al Daf brings a summary here, and he says, "Vehiksham afarsha, dare gam nitila lulav kol sheva bizman hazein el zecher lemikdash." But wait a second, shaking the lulav nowadays for 7 days is also zecher lemikdash. V'lam rodzo kasher yom tov rishon shel sukkot chal b'shabbat mevarchem in birchat sheichan yonah b'yom sheni. And yet, if we shake it for the first time on the second day of Yontif, if the first day was Shabbat, we say Shechayanu. V'chein mi sheshachach levarach et birchat Shechayanu b'yom rishon v'varach b'yom sheni. If you forgot to say Shechayanu on the first day, you say on the second day. V'einanu omrim shahol v'netila hila'agmat nafsin l'chorben beit ma'aveinu. Ein levarach Shechayanu. You don't say you can't make Shechayanu because it's depressing. So tell me, what's right off the bat, one possible answer to why you don't make Shechayanu on Svirat HaOmer, but you do on shaking the lulav if both of them are Zecher LeMikdash? What do you think, Yosef?
Why would you...
What's the difference, right? There's an easy answer, right? What's the difference?
One is that it's, as opposed to one being... Maybe it seemed like just one is an action of mourning and one being then it's a sad action.
You could say that that's the machloket. That's not the machloket. That's the difference. That maybe, remember, we said there are different models of Zecher LeMikdash. Some Zeichel Mikdash are mourning, and the Balamor claims that Shvirat Omer is completely about mourning, about remembering the Beit HaMikdash doesn't exist, so you don't say Shechayanu. But as we said, the simple pshat of shaking the lulav all 7 days, or taking the lulav all 7 days, that's a different Zeichel Mikdash. That's not a mourning practice. That's reliving the Mikdash. That's joyous. So maybe the difference is, what type of Zeichel Mikdash is this? So I would say that that's one possible answer, and that's what you get. That's the position of Rabbi Chiel Michel Feinstein. Right? He says as follows. Chaluka mitzvat sfirat omer mitzvat netilat lulav. Kasukah is different from lulav. Sherei kol kula shal mitzvat sfirat omer maskir l'adam et akrav an omer shal mikdash. Im nusach ha-bracha sfirat omer, im nusach ha-sfirat ha-yom yochad ba-omer, im genitzer ha-sofer u-mitztar, shabavateinu en la-masa karban Ha-Omer me'ashachar b'en ha-mikdash l'chein lo'yivarach she'echayanu. Everything about the Omer just reminds you that you are missing the Karban ha-Omer. So it's a mourning practice. Ma'ashe'en ken n'tilat lulav, she'en mitzvah atzma ma'ashe yazkir al-adam al-chisar ha-mikdash. The mitzvah isn't to remember the pain of the loss of the mikdash. Rather, rachachameinu tiknu n'tilat k'deishanam shich ma'asenu ki'yom kivamim kadmonim. Rather, as we said, this type of Zeichel Mikdash of Lulav is to relive life as if the Mikdash existed. So there is no mourning of the Ovod Beit HaMikdash. So it could be that the difference is that Lulav is a reliving of the Mikdash, so it's happy, and Sfirat Omer is a mourning practice, and therefore it's sad. That's one answer. Again, that follows the Rav, that follows the Baal HaMor. But if you want to argue not like that, so what would you say? So one possibility is what Reb Chaim Kanievsky says. Shekvar tiknu brecha jechanu k'yom t'rishon sezukot chal b'yom chol shuv lo plug rabbanan. He says it could just be, look, the first day is d'oraisa anyways, so you always say shechayanu on it, so the fact that you say it some other times, that's a lo plug. Not a big deal. Okay. But really, you're right. You're not making a bracha on Netilat Lulav. You wouldn't make it on the Zeichel HaMikdash. Maybe we never make it on Zeichel HaMikdash. And you could argue that why would you never make it on Zeichel HaMikdash? Because you could say... Right? Sorry, maybe I went too fast with that. Let me try that one more time. Chaim Kanievsky says as follows. When it comes to taking the Lulav, the first day is not Zeichel HaMikdash. It's biblical. So the fact that sometimes you make Shechiyanu on the second day, like if the first day is Shabbat, and then you're only doing it Zeichel HaMikdash, so what? In the end of the day, the bracha of Shechayanu is said on the biblical day most of the time, and once you say it most of the time, so we always tell you to say it, even if it's on a rabbinic day. Now, according to this argument, maybe you would say, look, any type of Zeichel HaMikdash, whether it's happy or sad, maybe you'd argue that even even when there is joy, and even if fundamentally the Zeichel HaMikdash is about commemorating the Mikdash, there's always that little pang of mourning in it, that little pain, and maybe that's enough to take away Shechayanu, and therefore fundamentally there is no difference between Sfirat Omer and Netilat Lulav. Both of them might be joyous, they might be sad, however you want to conceptualize it, but because there's definitely a little bit of sadness, so you don't say Shechayanu. And if you say that, you could defend my position, which is that maybe fundamentally counting days and weeks shows that we paskin that really this is a joyous one, but no one's going to deny that there isn't a little bit of mourning in it, and maybe that's why you don't say Shechayanu. So that's possibility two. A third possibility, and this is from the Brisker Rav, where the Brisker Rav is quoted in the Haggadah of Pesach LeBeit Brisk, and he says as follows. Beir advarim nira. Dine matzinu mitzvot she'en enohaga bizman hazeh. Kiyam midrabanan kigon maror v'od. We have certain mitzvot that are only rabbinic. Like maror and the like. Nowadays, without a Beit HaMikdash, without a Korban Pesach. Mitzvot elu atakana haita sha mitzvah sha'ita bizman ha'bayit da'oraita noheged gam bizman hazeh midrabanan. One way of commemorating the Mikdash is, as I said, is continuing on a rabbinic level if the mikdash still exists. Aval b'sfira omer shamru shebazeh shuzeich ha-mikdash nir shatakana lo haita shai mitzvah seh shai b'zman ha-bayit nidah right and ha-gid gam b'zman ha-zeh b'dir ha-banan. But Sfirat Omer is Zechel Mikdash. So it's not just recreate life, right? So he's calling what I call Zechel Mikdash of the optimistic kind. He calls non-Zechel Mikdash Dirabanan. And Zechel Mikdash of the mourning kind, he calls Zecher Limikdash. And he says that maybe that's where the Balamor is getting at. Valpizet, like the Rav, Valpizet Mevor, Mashagat of Balamor, Lenin Birchad Azman, Dina Chanami. So what the Griz is saying is that there are two types of Zeichel Mikdash, as we've said. One is where you relive life of the Mikdash outside the Mikdash, and those he thinks you make a Shecheyanu, and those that are mourning practices where you don't. So again, the Rav, Rechiel Michal Feinstein, the Briskerov, they all claim that Zeichel Mikdash of Sfirat Omer is completely mourning-based. And that's why you don't say Shecheyanu, and that's how they understand the Balamor. As opposed to Lulav, which is the optimistic one, which is what the Grizz calls a regular Dirabanan, what the Rav calls a Zeichel Mikdash of the positive kind, what Safrai calls the real continuing, right, convincing ourselves that the mikdash continues to exist, or religious life exists even without mikdash. All of those militate against what I suggested, which is that the machloket in the Gemara about whether you count diminished or not is whether this is an optimistic or a mourning type of zeichel mikdash. But based on Chaim Kanievsky, I could defend myself and say that no, maybe it's optimistic, but it has a little bit of twinge of mourning, and that's enough to make it that you don't say Shecheyanu, but fundamentally it is a happy or optimistic type of Zecher Lemikdash. Okay. Since we're already talking about these different models, I figured that I would just give you this piece from the Sefer Ratz Katzvi, which gives you a little bit of that based on these different models of Zeichel Mikdash and the different ways we commemorate the Mikdash, mourning and in optimistic ways, recreating life from the Mikdash, a little vort on Pesach. So he notes that in Shulchan Aruch it says, V'achar kach notel matzah shlishi devot sami mena v'korcha memaror v'tovla v'charoset v'omer Zeichel Mikdash kihilel v'och lo yachad be'asiba. So we all know that after we take matzah and maror, we do it again with karech, and we say, Zeichel Mikdash Kehillel. And you lean when you eat it. And we tell you not to interrupt between the bracha on the matzah and the karech, so the bracha on the matzah will go on the karech also. The katuv v'ver halacha. And the Ber Halacha says, "V'kasha halo amirazu have a hefsek bein bracha lekricha." Isn't it a interruption to say the word Zeichel Mikdash Kehillel v'mechab ratzma mesayim she'en lo zeich b'davar she'enu minyan ha'achila k'dei shetala berachat achilat matzah v'achilat mar lekricha zo? We just said don't make any division between the bracha on the matzah and the bracha on the maror before you say korech. So how can you say Zeichel Mikdash Kehillel? Isn't that an interruption? You can't tell me that it's just part of the meal. Just like when you normally wash for bread, you're allowed to say, you know, take the bracha after you've washed. You can't say that. And he says, in fact, I don't know any posek who says this. I just think it is a Zeichel Mikdash, but you don't need to verbalize that it's Zeichel Mikdash. V'lulei de mistafina, and if I wasn't afraid of the Shulchan Aruch, I would say, have amina de tzarech lomar b'machaber v'tovla b'charod za Zeichel Mikdash kehillel, shazad kol apotkin v'ay v'omer u'shit v'delishna. And I would say, if I wasn't scared to, that really it's a mistake, the Shulchan Aruch never said it, rather it is a Zeichel Mikdash, But we don't verbalize it. But Tzvi Reisman says that you can defend it as follows. He says, "Achen lefisha et bari sodo nechmat shel agriz mi brisk zatzal." Sheyesh takana midaran zeichel mikdash same sug shel takana chadash et tzurato prati dinau kefima shekavu chazal vishona mitzurat kiyum amitz midaraita vishavim derei shulchan aruch. Okay, shekein chazal yicholim letakein takana zeichel mikdash tzurat kiyum atakana mechudeshet. And he says, you know what the machlok is, the Mishnah Brura and the Shulchan Aruch is? The Mishnah Brura thinks that this is just a dirabanan which happens to be Zeichel HaMikdash. But it's not something new which is created with the sole intent of commemorating the Mikdash. It's just continuing what existed in the Mikdash. So obviously then you shouldn't verbalize anything extra. But maybe what Shulchan Aruch holds is that the nature of Korech is that its entire essence is Zecher LeMikdash. It is a symbolic act that remembers the Mikdash. And if that's the case, then verbalizing that it's Zecher LeMikdash is actually critical to getting your point across. And if that's the case, it's totally legitimate to say the words Zecher LeMikdash. So we've seen several different formulations of this, right? That we have Zeichel HaMikdash, where you just have a regular Derabbanan which happens to continue the Mikdash. We noted that that might be optimistic, right? Telling us that the Mikdash continues. You have things that are set up in their essence as Zeichel HaMikdash. And within that, you can have ones which mimic the Mikdash. You can have those that are diminished from the Mikdash. We noted that this might depend on how you understand counting days and weeks. We noted that this might explain that it provide different ways of explaining why you don't make Shecheyanu and the like. One more point, and then we'll finish, is this Sfat Emet. The Sfat Emet asks Tana Meimar, who says that you count days and not weeks. Timahani, I'm shocked. The Lo Matzinu Kazeh, the Mabekach, the Zeichel Mikdashi. I don't understand. It's a commemoration of the Mikdash. So what? So therefore you shouldn't count with days and weeks. Lama lo nasi b'shleimut Moshe asu b'zman ha-mikdash. Why shouldn't you just do what you did in the Mikdash? V'esher lefareish d'me'emet. So if you just stopped here, I would say the simple answer is there are two different types of Zeichel HaMikdash. He's right that some Zeichel HaMikdash, the way they're set up, is that we just recreate life as it was in the Mikdash. And in those, you're right, you totally mimic the practice in the Mikdash. But there are others which are set up as mourning practices, as unique Zeichel HaMikdash, that highlight our loss. So in those, it's not true. In those, you might actually actively diminish the way you're mekayim the mitzvah to drive home the mourning, just like you do when you paint your house, that you leave out part of the paint. That's not the answer he gives. That's the answer I would have given. He gives a different answer, and he says, "V'efter lefareish," and this is a totally different answer, which goes in a totally different conceptual direction than I've suggested. "V'efter lefareish de'be'emet b'parshat re'e because of stam shiva shavuot tisparlach v'asida chag shavuot." He says, "You know what? Maybe there are two different types of mitzvah. There are two parts of the mitzvah. In re'e, it says count weeks." And it says, make Chag Shavuot. V'sham lo nizkar me'omer shtei aleichem klal. There is no mention of the Karban HaOmer, the shtei aleichem. It just says count. Im kein mashma de mitzvah svira zo hilatzore Chag Shavuot ba'atzmo shebe'emet nikra kein Shavuot. Maybe the counting of the weeks has nothing to do with the Omer. Rak b'parshat Omer, gabay Omer v'akeves, miyom aviyachem tisperu chamim shem yom. The Omer is only mentioned when it comes to counting days. L'chein yesh lomar, dahani shtei mitzvot tzvir na'yamim, mitzad akrobat Omer shtei alachem, u'svira shavuot, l'shem achag ba'atzmo. It could be that the days are linked to the Omer, but the weeks are linked to Shavuot and are independent of the Omer. V'hashter amar ameimar dechol mitzvot she'ein noagin bezman hazeh lo matzinu lam zecher. Right, mitzvot she'ein noagin b'mikdash asu zecher l'mikdash. L'hachi mani yomei zecher l'mikdash. So he has this very counterintuitive logic. And he says, look, anything that was related to the mikdash, so that we bother commemorating when there is no Beit HaMikdash. But anything that wasn't particularly tied to the Mikdash, but happens to not apply nowadays, we don't bother commemorating. Our mitzvah, Svirat Shavuot, let behu zeichel HaMikdash. But the weeks was never intrinsically about the Mikdash. But he says, okay, so doesn't that lead to the opposite conclusion? That nowadays you should count weeks because they were never Mikdash related, and not count days which were Mikdash related? How could you say the opposite? Right, that makes no sense. The Ein Lahakshot, so he knows this question. He says, V'ein Lahakshot Lafiza Adarabba Neva de Mitzvah Sir Shavuot Yemidorita Gamma Idna. Kevan Shem Litzar Chag Shavuot. So then shouldn't the conclusion be that you count only weeks? Because those were independent of the Omer as opposed to the days which were dependent on the Karban? Zeino. He said, that can't be true, because at the end of the day, they are connected to the Karban Omer. Because we know that you start counting from when you cut the Omer. V'ktiran Omer. V'keiran de'inlan Omer lekam in a Torah Sfira Kanal. And therefore, he comes up with this wild chiddush that the days and the weeks both depend on the Karban Omer. So nowadays, neither is de'oraisa. But the counting of the weeks was never fundamentally Mikdash, and therefore it's not even worth remembering when there is no Beit HaMikdash. But on the other hand, the days are linked to the Mikdash, and therefore are worth commemorating when there is no Mikdash. Now this is really a wild shot. And as he said, it really is counterintuitive. He tries to defend it, but it really is counterintuitive. That's the end that I want to talk about for Zeichel HaMikdash. I want to end with what he ends with, though, which is that this forces us to ask a bigger question. And that is, in general, what is the relationship between the counting of the days and the counting of the weeks? Right? We've talked about the Zeichel HaMikdash, but now we've got to ask the broader question, not the world of the Zeichel HaMikdash, but the actual mitzvah. Are these two mitzvot? Is one of them related to the Mikdash and not the other? Are they a unified mitzvah, in which case everything I just said makes no sense? So the next source sheet that I have for next week is that question. Is what is the relationship in general between the counting of the days and the counting of the weeks? Are they unified? Are they separate? Is one based on the Mikdash and one not? And as he notes, his shita is the exact opposite of Rabbeinu Yerucham. And so you can see that there'll be multiple possibilities, right? Maybe, and that's what we'll deal with next week, okay? It went a little bit shorter, but it's okay. We finished what I wanted to say on it, so we'll continue with that next time. Okay, guys. I'll talk to you guys later.
Shkoyach.
Shkoyach.